Hi, everybody. This is Annie with Annie Asks of Well Read Magazine. And I'm so excited to bring to you for December my favorite authors through the years. Authors that I have read all of their books. Not every single one of Judy's because I can't keep up, but I'm definitely in my Kindle or on my shelf. And but I'm definitely huge fan. I can't wait for her new books to come out. I've already spoken with most authors to be a book club book for next year, but everyone here is being asked to do that. So hopefully this is putting you on the spot that you'll say yes. But the reason, you know, for December, I wanted to have "these are all of my favorite things" type of thing. And also authors I've known a really long time. So showing that when you start reading and you fall in love with characters and the authors, you really jump and on the bandwagon and you follow them all the time, forever. Patricia Sands being the longest. I wrote in a newsletter years ago, 2014, I think. Patricia Sands, I just read a book of yours. Watch out, you have a stalker. You know, and we've been friends ever since.
She's been the best stalker ever.
thank you so much. But, you know, so I just want to show some of your books, not from things. This was one of my favorite advertisements that Patricia ever made. Yeah, I love that. I love that one. And of course, I love all of her books. So her characters, Kat, Philippe, and Bernadette, I'll never forget. And Nick, and I could go on and on. And then she had a 10-year anniversary for The Bridge Club, which is a really special book to her and to anyone that has a really close girlfriend. Now, she's also really good at sharing hilarity for everybody. So I just wanted to share that with you. The next person was Judy Kine. I fell down a rabbit hole with Judy Kine because all of her stories are different, which I don't understand how she does that. And they're all so take you away on a vacation. But I included the ones here that are holiday ones.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Because they're just so magically delicious. you see what I mean? They go on and on and on. And they're all delight. They're all so wonderful and so chock full of fun. I think this might be something from Judy.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
I'm working on my 54th book.
Do you see what I mean? And let me just tell you, I'm going to have all of them. And I think this is
willing to send them to you.
This is the new one, correct?
Yeah, the new series. Yep.
Yeah. Can't wait. Anything about Lavender, I love. Because Patricia had me fall in love with Lavender. This was my review for Desert Flowers, Mistletoe and Holly. That whole series is wonderful. It's not a Christmas series, but that happens to be a Christmas book. Now, I collect her books. And then, that's why she's one of my most favorites. And I always love having her on because I love seeing what glasses is she going to wear today. We're both without glasses today. No, but we're both.
There you go.
We're both without glasses today. It's so funny. You're just very, and you're so much fun to talk to. And then Barbara, which we all know I can't say her last name. Josselson. I'm not even going to try.
Josselson. Yeah, it's Josselson. It's
Josselson.
It's a Marriott. I had no
choice. I can say it after you say it, but on my own, I can't. Okay. So the first one was this one, right?
Yes, that's right.
The Lilac House, and then the Lily Garden, and the Bluebell Girls.
Yeah.
And then she jumped.
Right.
Aww. Over to Italian Islands books. And we have the Lost Gift to the Italian Island coming out, right?
In two weeks.
Yes. So, oh my gosh, I absolutely, and I, this was the review for Cranberry Inn, which is her Christmas book.
Yeah.
Which is so wonderful. You know, everyone invites us into some place where we feel like we're away on vacation. We want to go. We want to make a reservation at the B&B with Patricia at Judy's hotels, B&Bs, wherever they are, or cottages. It's all different things. We want to go to Barbara's Town to plant flowers. And we, and then we'll bring you to Michelle. But, you know, everyone has these magical worlds that are so much fun to enter and talk about. So they're perfect for book club books. I highly recommend that. And then we have Michelle Cox. Do you see my scarf?
Oh my gosh! Yay! It looks beautiful.
Well, because I bid on a Henrietta scarf at the Pat Conroy Center fundraiser. And I didn't win. I was like, oh my God. So she sent me this. So I got this beautiful scarf anyway. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I'm in love with it. Now, Michelle has these sublime books about, they're just so wonderful. Henrietta and Inspector Howard series. It's mystery with romance in a fizzy 1930s cocktail. But you start in one place, and now we're at A Haunting of Linley, which I have to finish. I haven't finished it yet. I'm sorry. But so A Veil Removed is a really great book to read for the holidays. Now, just because it's wintry, you know, and they're all a little cold because it's 1930s, but well, because of what's going on in all of the books, but A Veil Removed felt more holiday-ish to me.
Yeah.
But this couple is, they're like, they're sleuths, but they're interesting. It's like, how they meet, how they stay together is all very interesting, even when they're in two different places. And I always say, don't let them in.
I know.
So everyone here has these stories where I'm like, please don't let them in. And I do want to show one more thing. We also all like to have a lot of fun together. Everybody comes on, has a lot of fun. So that's what we're doing here today. I'm going to ask some Proust questions. And Proust is somebody who came up with 35 questions in about 1890. And they are to tell you how to learn about a character, your character or a written character. If you want a character and you don't know about them, you answer these questions and you'll know them better. So I came up with just 4 questions instead of the 12 to make up for the time that I thought would be fun questions for these particular ladies. So the first question, I'll start with Judy, is what is your greatest extravagance?
I feel like it's an extravagance, but I love to get my nails done.
Okay. I like that.
I didn't hear what you said, Julie. Judy, what did you say?
I said it's not really an extravagance so much as pampering, and I love to get my nails done, my fingernails done.
Well, that's really, that's, but I mean, to some people, that is an extravagance.
It is.
You know, so yeah, I like that. That's really nice. Very nice. Patricia?
Okay. Well, I had to really seriously think if I could answer without saying the word chocolate. But because, you know, that's really part of everyone's diet, right? So I buy myself flowers every week. I buy myself flowers. I can't depend on my husband to, you know, he'll buy me flowers on a special occasion. But I like to have fresh flowers every week. And I've done that for years. And it's just part of what I do with my grocery shopping.
Wow. That's awesome.
So nice.
That's a great idea.
I love having
fresh flowers. So when I go to France, first thing I do is go to the market and pick up a bunch and stick them in my hotel room or wherever I happen to be staying. But when I'm at home, every week on the front hall table.
Oh,
nice. Wow. That's a great idea.
I'm going to do that.
Do it.
I'm going to start doing that too.
Yeah, right.
And what about you, Barbara?
I think my biggest extravagance, I think, is Broadway shows.
Uh-huh.
We just whoever I can grab with me. And I just love the theater. I love Broadway. I love New York City. It's my favorite way to spend a day. It's really expensive. Sometimes you can get discounts.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's really worth it. I'll sacrifice other things just to, you know, monthly or so go to the theater.
Oh, yeah, that's Barbara, fantastic. Where do you live?
I'm in Westchester County. I'm about a 20, when on express, I would be a 20-minute train ride into the city.
And, that's great.
That's so perfect. Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I used to always do that with my nephew. I started taking him when he was, like, so young, like 5 or 6.
Wow.
Not Broadway. I said, when you turn 13, we'll go to Broadway. So that's what we started doing. And now he's in film school at Temple. But he does theater. And he's over in Europe right now.
Wow.
Traveling. But he's won film awards and everything. So.
Had an influence.
I was like, yeah, I kind of did have an influence on a child. That's really great. Yeah. So. I love Broadway too. I love plays. I still go to the plays here at the local play, Theater 3, and they're really, really good. So that's a lot of fun. We have season tickets.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Since I don't get to go into the city anymore. Hmm. My last tickets was for Hadestown.
Oh, and I love
that week. That week it closed down.
Oh.
So we didn't get to go.
Oh,
but
no.
as soon as COVID ended, we still got the passes back. So I just gave them to Adam to go, and he went with his mom. I was so the last one I saw was The Great Comet.
I remember that one. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
That was so good. That's gone now. And how about you, Michelle?
You know, I would have to say that every week my husband and I do a date night. So we go out for drinks and dinner and lots of people. I usually try to put the post up on Facebook and lots of people are like, wow, do you go out every week? And so I feel like that's really an extravagance to us. It's normal, but it's just been important to just spend that time. So
I have noticed that.
Yeah,
I said, they're still romantic. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't say that. I don't say that. I say how nice that they're still so romantic that they, because people forget, couples forget to do that.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you have to actively commit to that.
Yeah.
So I don't have day night. But if he comes into the living room, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's day night. I'm just kidding. But anyway, that's really great that you get to do that. I thought you were going to say pizza. travel. I thought you might say travel.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Or I could say,
like, oh, she's at that show. Oh, she's at that show. Oh. Which historical figure do you most identify with? And I asked you this because I felt like I wanted to know the answer to this question so badly. Like Judy just told me somebody about me, right? And that's very funny because I forgot that I used to be called Annie Oakley. So let's hear what you have to say. Judy, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, of course, there's so many wonderful figures and people and women especially. And I got to thinking about it, and I am supposedly, you know how that goes, related to Susan B. Anthony. Oh, so I come from a family of strong women, surprisingly. And
that's surprising.
I thought, you know, that's those women, and she in particular, were worthy of a lot of praise and so on for the work they did. It's very important for women to have all the roles that we should have. So that's my character.
That's so cool. I love that. I love that. Patricia, you tell me when you're safe.
I'm safe. I'm back.
Oh, okay.
It's so funny because that went off. It's obviously the fire alarm in this building. I'm in a condo, right? And we just moved into this condo in January.
Oh.
It's like 1,300 square feet. There are three fire alarms like that in this, you know, in the two bedrooms and in the living area. And it is so shrill and so offensive. I'm going to write the fire department about it. My son said it's fire regulations, you know. I mean,
well, they want to wake you up if you're sleeping.
Oh, listen, that would wake the dead. That would wake the dead. I mean, you heard it. Anyway, I'm not going to go on about
it. Yeah, that was very loud.
So I bought my husband a pair of sound blocking headphones. So usually he has them right beside him. As soon as it goes off, he has to put those on.
Well, it's so high, it's like it's for the dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's brutal. Anyway, we don't want to waste time talking about that. So was this the historical character?
Correct.
I thought that was a really interesting question, Annie. I mean, I really had to think about that. And what I came up with was really not one person, but when I think about, you know, what I love in my life and what I've done in my life and what is who might have influenced me, it's the women who were the teachers in the one-room schoolhouses. Mm-hmm. I can't name one in particular, but I always love reading stories about them, and I've always been, you know, really enticed by early pioneer days in Canada. I have a lot of early Canadian furniture, and you know, having been a teacher, I just always would think about those women who had to walk wherever they went or go in their horse and buggy or whatever, and then have all those, you know, all those kids and all those grades in the same little room and get the fire going in the winter. And anyway,
yeah, that's really cool.
That's good. I love that.
I love that. My friend just went to the Little House on the Prairie cruise, and you know they had the, you know, the first the teacher there, everybody, Grace. It was really cool. Huh. But that's what we used to watch for the first teachers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I love that, and we all admire our teachers. I mean, I know I did. Thank you, Patricia. Barbara?
Yeah, this was a hard question, but I think I would say that in the most humblest of ways possible, I relate to Louisa May Alcott.
No, that's my answer.
Well, we can share her.
Okay.
Yeah. But and, you know, obviously Little Women is, you know, it's my favorite book and I've read it so many times and shared it with my daughters. But when my daughter was in high school, we went up to Concord and we did like a Louisa May Alcott little tour, you know, our own little tour. You could see the cemetery where she and her family and many other famous writers are buried in her house, obviously. And then her father was a transcendentalist and kind of looking for a utopia. There was this place called Fruitlands, which was kind of like a utopian society that never really succeeded. He was a bit of a dreamer. But what I really loved and learned about her was that she was a working writer. She was a working writer. It was her job. And, you know, whatever money she made from it, she was able to help support her family, cared deeply about her sisters. Oh, I don't know if you hear, they're blowing leaves around here. And she also had a little bit of a secret romantic life when she was traveling, which I really liked too. But I just like that she did her job. She wrote stories. That was important. And she sat down at her desk and did it every day. And in a way, she was very contemporary, modern for that. So that's my take on it.
That was the first hardcover book I ever got, Under the Christmas Tree.
Oh.
And I was like, woo! And I was like, I'm Joe. And so when I saw the movie and I saw them making the binding of the book and she was watching, I was, woo! I need to write a book. So anyway, yeah. So yeah, I totally agree. That's a wonderful, wonderful person. All of these answers are great. And Michelle Cox?
Yeah. So just like Barbara said, mine was Louisa May Alcott. Or actually, I'm wondering if really it's more Joe March, which is not a real person. But I just love not just Little Women, but Joe's Boys and Little Men, and how she was able, that character was able to be, you know, part of the school for boys and be married and have this family, but at the same time be a writer and be true to both of those different worlds. And so that's something that I identify very much with, because, you know, we all have lives, we're all trying to do this writing thing. So she's somebody I've always looked up to. And weirdly, Annie, I got the whole set one year for a Christmas gift. And that's when people say, what's your favorite Christmas gift you ever got? I always say that one.
I do too.
I read those over and over and over. Yeah.
Cause then like the following year I got Little Men and I started getting the set and I was just, but it was like to have something hardcover was so, it was like gold to me.
You know, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so, yes. And my parents inscribed it.
Wow.
So, anyway, it was very, very special to me.
Yeah.
It's better than getting a bike.
Still have them?
Yeah, right.
I still have them.
Yeah.
Good. Yep. Good.
I still have them. That's so funny. Well, these are such good answers. I love it. Okay, so three. Who are your heroes in real life? How about we start with Barbara this time?
Okay.
Oh, no, she's frozen.
No, am I?
Patricia?
I'm frozen?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Am I? You're back. You were.
Oh, weird. That's weird. I didn't. Okay. No, I'm good. Okay, I'm here. My heroes in real. My heroes in real life. I mean, my real heroes, my real real life heroes are my grandparents and their relatives from that generation. I'm just amazed, you know, what they went through, you know, back then. I was thinking about them because there's three sisters in my new book and they're based on my father's three aunts. And they were, you know, they were new to this country. They lived in the Bronx, small apartments. It was Bessie, Rose, and Ida. And they were
I had the same names in my family.
You know, that often I hear that a lot. But what else? Those are the names, right? And you know, they were, my father's mother was the fourth sister, Sarah, who died young. So my father was kind of there, all of their son. You know, they kind of took care of him. And you know, they had these thick Eastern European accents, and I don't really know much about, they never spoke about being children, but they were just so full of love, and they just loved us. And so they wanted to feed us, of course. And, you know, the Yiddish kind of names that they gave us, and the words that they used, but just what was their, you know, boy, did I have it easy compared to what they had. You know, I have no idea what, you know, what they went through to make a life and still be so cheerful and so full of love and so, you know, so optimistic. Yeah. And so that's my answer. They're my heroes.
Wonderful.
Just Ida and Rose.
That's great. That's great. I love it. Thank you, Barbara. Michelle?
Well, again, I'm going to copy off Patricia and say that my heroes are probably all of the teachers out there. My best friend is a teacher. My sister is a teacher. And I just think that there's, you have the future in your hands. Yeah. And you're shaping a whole generation of kids. And everybody can name one teacher that changed their life in some way, whether it was small or big. And that's amazing that, and they're not doing it for money. They're not doing it for fame. They're not doing it for anything, which just means that they're doing it because I feel like it's a calling. And they have this gift with kids that, you know, the rest of us don't have. So even if we are a mother, I think it's different than the gift you have as a teacher. So absolutely, those are my heroes. Yeah.
That's
so
wonderful. Yeah. I had a teacher, Mr. Book, and nobody ever believed me, but now, cause at age 97, he wrote me back, Mr. Book. So I showed it. And I had a reading comprehension problem. So in third grade, he started mentoring me, and he had me write book reviews for the newspaper for the school. And that's how this all started. And then, you know, it went on and on and on, but I since called and thanked him, and he's 97 and he writes me all the time. It's just wonderful. So yes, teachers do have a profound effect on us, even more so than we realize. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful. Patricia.
Well, I'm sitting here feeling a little bit proud because, thank you, Michelle.
You are a teacher.
Well, I mean, I'm not now, but I became a teacher when I was 45 after I was widowed. I went back to university and I taught elementary school for a few years. And it was honestly the most joyful experience of my life. I should have been doing it forever. Mm. My parents wanted me to become a teacher, you know, right out of high school, and I wasn't interested, but boy, I absolutely loved it. And I spend as much time in schools as I can, helping with literacy programs.
You teach me all the time.
I agree with you. I think that's teaching's, it's very special. And today, I mean, I don't know what I would do in the classroom with older kids today. When I talk to friends of mine who are high school teachers and middle school teachers, and you know, the issues that they have to face today are so different.
Mm-hmm. So tough.
And so all encompassing.
Yeah.
So I was thinking who I really love that you ask us these questions, Annie.
I know. Great questions.
You. Yeah. You know, just thank gives you. You time to sort of stop and think, oh yeah, what do I do? So anyway, my real life heroes today. And it's probably, you know, because of everything, all this horrible stuff that's in the news, but are the people, the Medicine Sans Frontières, and, you know, Doctors Without Borders, and the workers that go into migrant camps and into, you know, into war areas and help people. I often, you know, entertain this fantasy that I wish I was 40 years younger. And my second husband, I shouldn't say my current husband. My husband of the last 27 years is originally from Syria. And when the war was going on there in Aleppo, where some of our family still lives, I mean, I just wanted to get over there and, you know, and do stuff, clear away rubble and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a totally unrealistic fantasy, but I just have such admiration for all the men and women who are involved in those efforts around the world.
I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's wonderful. That's especially now, but Doctors Without Borders has been around forever in the United States. We don't have the other one you mentioned, which I forget the name because you said something French.
No, that was Doctors Without Borders in French. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was. But I became an EMT because I was dating a doctor, and we were going to go to Doctors Without Borders, and I had to be doing something medical. So I wanted to be doing that, but that did not happen. Hmm. So, but I find it honorable as well. That's why I wanted to do it. Yeah. And Judy?
So I was thinking for two things. Number one, my parents, who gave me a wonderful life and a love of reading and writing. And they both died sort of horrible deaths. My mother had MS and my dad ALS. They were so loving, like you say, Barbara, so loving and kind and everything. So they always remain heroes for me. But I got to thinking also, and this is sort of bringing it back to the group, my heroes are also other writers. And it doesn't matter at what level they are, there is a genuine feeling of helping one another and encouraging one another that I don't think you find in any other business or industry as you do with writers. And people like Annie who support writers, and she's a writer herself. I mean, we all just, I find that my writing circle, we all rejoice for whatever they accomplish.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very rare, but I think it's very, very true.
Mm-hmm. I just recently told my publisher, you know, I really preferred the promoting of the authors, not writing my book. You know, like, I just love it so much. It's my most beloved thing to do. So authors obviously would be huge heroes in my life, obviously. And not because I became one. You know, you've lit the way for me, and which is just wonderful. Thank you for answering those questions. And the last question is, before I go do my rapid fire, which is very quick, what is your favorite, what is your motto? Let's go with Judy.
Okay. I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
You don't always feel that way, but that's my motto.
Yeah.
That's
a good one. Patricia?
Every day is a gift. Something that my late mother-in-law taught me. She gave me those words, and I live by them every day and try to share them as much as I can.
Yeah, that's sweet.
You do. Barbara?
I would say the old E.M. Foster, Howard's End, always connect, right? Always connect.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, always. You know, that's I think, the key to, you know.
You do, too.
Always connect.
I love how everyone is, like, their motto. That's really cool. and Michelle?
I have several, but I guess the one I would share here is, it's always day one.
It's always day one.
Yep.
That's interesting. I like that. Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happened in the past. Today's today.
I love that. That's wonderful. I like to say, I get by with a little help from my friends.
I like that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Too.
Thank you. And my rapid fire questions are, oh my gosh. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Okay, ready?
What?
And we'll go Judy, Patricia, Barbara and Michelle in your answer. Rapid fire question. Stocking or small gifts or straight to the big ones on the holiday on a holiday morning?
Small gifts.
Yeah. Stocking.
Stocking.
Me too.
Yeah.
Small gifts.
Sorry, too. Went out of order.
Oh, no, it's all right. Shouting out's good, too. Okay. During the holiday season, do you believe it's okay to open a gift a day before, the night before the holiday, whether it be the night before Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, or is that a major no-no?
Major no-no.
Major no-no. Absolutely.
I say it's okay.
I say it's okay.
Nope.
And I you have to wait to see what it is.
That's true. It was funny. There was a Frasier episode where they said, "Oh, we could open one," and Martin opened batteries. and they were like, "Wait, we have to open another." And then they just kept going and going and going. But I did want to ask a bonus question because this comes up a lot. Do you like fresh cranberry sauce or canned cranberry sauce with the Thanksgiving coming?
Fresh.
It's fresh.
Well, fresh. I know Patricia's yours best. See?
Yeah, and fresh.
What about you, Judy?
I'm fresh.
Okay.
I like both. I don't mind the canned.
I like both, too. Both go on my plate, but... Everyone was like, "You like canned?" But anyway, so I was like, I'm gonna ask the ladies which ones they like, because I think that's a fun question. So
I'm not gonna say that I've never served canned, let me put it that way.
Well, it is good at the last minute too, but that's very again, they're both very good, of course. And I love fresh cranberries, so how could you not like it? But anyway, I thought that was a cute last question. I really appreciate you spending December's Well-Read Magazine issue with me for Annie Asks, because it was so important to celebrate authors that I have been following through the years. And I highly recommend anyone that hasn't met any of you to start following you. And if you start with Judy Kime, you have a book a week for the next year. But no, everybody's books are so wonderful. They're so inviting, and I highly recommend all of their books. So thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate it. And
thank you,
Mandy Haynes from Well Read Magazine, for allowing me to have this podcast. Have a wonderful
thanks
time.
Thanks for everybody. And it's great
thank
to spend
you.
Time with you all. Thanks, Annie.
Thank you.
This was wonderful.
Bye. Thanks.